Today, I'm sitting down with DMAC, or NBA Fantasy Bible, if you're watching along on Twitter. A little sneaky live show here. We very late in planning this one, but we're just going to go through his team from yesterday's early industry mock draft. Let's go. Balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Got something loud in the blunt, yeah. Don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I'm Adam King, your host at AdamKing91 on Twitter. We did an early industry mock draft yesterday, or analyst mock draft, with 12 very esteemed analysts. This guy had the first pick, so we're going to talk about his team and what he thought of the picks, and I'll be getting some analysts on over the next few weeks just to break this down, but without further ado, let's unmute him, bring him in. DMAC, how are you going?
Going well, Kingy. Thanks for having me on. Love being balls deep.
What more could you want on a Sunday night? Really, the diehards only watching now because it's late. Well, it's a little bit earlier for you, but over here on the East Coast, 10 past 9 at night, and in the US, 10 past 7 in the morning on the East Coast. 10 past 4 on the West Coast. So, yeah, don't know how many viewers we'll get, but I'm sure there'll be few that are watching along. So I'm not going to
perhaps you... a bit like you, sleep schedule is maybe a little bit out of whack because of the Olympics. So
well, we may have a few viewers already on. It's day two and it's already taking its toll on me. I've been up since about 4 o'clock this morning. So it's, after this, I'll be deciding whether to push on through and watch some stuff tonight. The basketball just finished, actually, and South Sudan beat Puerto Rico. Well, I'm assuming they did. They were up by 9 with about a minute to go. So I'm assuming they won. The Boomers had a good win yesterday, last night, but depending where you are. Looked pretty good, but probably the easiest of the three matchups that they've got. They've got Canada and Greece in their next two, so both are going to be harder. Are you a big Olympics person? Do you watch a lot of it, or you're not like
not a great deal? Not a great deal. I used to as a kid, obsessed, and yeah, yep. Probably took a few days off school as well to watch it. But I did watch the Boomers last night; very impressive. And a couple of guys for the Boomers will have new roles for their NBA teams this coming season, so that'll be very interesting to watch.
They will. And speaking of next season, let's get into the draft. So as I said, you had the number one pick. You did message me to confirm that the draft order was correct before we went live with the draft, and I assured you it was. And given your comment after that was Wemby with some exclamation marks, I figured that you were going Wemby, and no surprise, you did. Now, this was just standard 9-cat head-to-head. Very early. I mean, we're 3 months out from the season, so still a little bit of player movement to go probably. But, I mean, let's start at the top. Wemby, was there any doubt here, or you're all about Wemby at number one?
I'm all about Wemby, and I think the excitement factor just puts him ahead of Jokic. However, I don't think it's a for everyone. I think people still love the stability of Jokic, and three-time MVP for a reason. I think he's fantasy absolute stud. So I think... you can go for that upside play. Wemby being, 20 years old, on the up. Jokic still steady, but, about that 30-year-old mark as well. So I'm not saying he's on the decline, but I think in the top two, Wemby or Jokic, it's almost pick your poison, but I've gone for Wemby here.
And you've got a little friend in the background there, I see, with a tablet ready. The tablet's doing its job. look, she's welcome to join. We're kid friendly here on this show. Second pick. So obviously picking one, you then pick 24. So takes a while to get back to you. So you went with Dame Lillard at pick 24. So yeah, right on the turn there, and paired him with James Harden. Now, Harden to me is a potential sort of, I don't know, goldmine is the right phrase here, but I think this season, if he's falling to this area, he could be top, I want to say top 20, maybe top 15. He's not going to be the Harden that he was 5 years ago, 34-point James Harden, but with no Paul George there, and Kawhi is sort of, is he going to play? Isn't he going to play? We don't know. I really like the Harden pick there. But starting with Dame, I suppose, what are your thoughts on him this season?
Yeah, a lot of people thought that he had a disappointing season. And for his standards at Portland, yes, it was disappointing. But you look at those numbers, there is room for improvement coming this season. I think his shot's going to fall. He was still a high-level performer. And I've actually lent into, and I don't know if you've noticed here, I've lent into a bit of a punt field goal build as well. So Lillard having that field goal punt, I think he really helps my side, and you know what he brings as well. So that high level shooting, scoring, it's still going to be there. And then coupling that with Harden as well, as you said, he's going to have a monster season. You put in no PG-13, you've got Kawhi that's likely going to sit a fair few games as well. Harden's just going to feast, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's encroaching on that first round value. He may not get there, but he's going to have moments throughout the season that he's going to be a solid play close to that first rounder.
And I think I've just pulled up the numbers from last year. Relatively healthy, 73 games. And he finished as the 19th ranked player. And as you said, I think people probably looked at last year and considered that a down year for him, or his floor to some degree, because he didn't shoot the ball very well. It took him a while to get going. So now having 12 months under his belt, playing alongside Giannis, getting used to that, and you've drafted him lower than where he finished last year. So I think, yeah, I think relatively safe. And then James Harden, are you sort of on board there with him potentially being a bit of a, I don't know if you'd call him a bounce back, but someone who can maybe push inside that top, like I said, top 20, but could he nudge first round value?
Yeah, absolutely. I think he could. As I was saying, I think there's going to be moments where Kawhi is going to sit out some games, and I think he's, without PG-13 there, I think he's going to be quite immense throughout the season.
All right. So then we went with, so I like this pick here. I like him this season, but I'm keen to get your thoughts on Emmanuel quickly. So you took him with the last pick of the fourth round. So that's pick 48. I thought he was really good down the stretch last year in Toronto. He did play without RJ Barrett. He missed a few games because of personal off-court stuff. But generally, he was pretty healthy. I thought he ran the team pretty well. And Toronto, I don't know if you'd say they're rebuilding, but they're certainly not sort of pushing for a championship, I wouldn't think. So I think along with Scottie Barnes, RJ Barrett, quickly is one of their sort of cornerstones now. So what are you thinking here, taking him at 48?
Pretty aggressive, but as you mentioned, I think he's got a lot of room for improvement. We saw it down the stretch for the Raptors. I think he will be a cornerstone piece for them. And I just think that he does fit that build that I'm trying to build here as well. Just look at the compliments that I've got throughout the rest of the draft as well. I think you look at the guys that were taken after him, I think he's got more upside. It's an upwards trajectory play as well. And I really do like him, and I'm really high on him for this season.
And he was 94th last year, but if you sort of disregard what he did in New York and have a look at his numbers down the stretch, over the last 3 months, he was 67. Over the last 2 months, he was 26, 43 over the last month. So, I mean, averaging all that out, and you land on about in the 40s or the 50s, which is where you took him. So, no, I really like him for this season. I think he's sort of got a really good opportunity. And then you went relatively safe, but safe with upside. Derek White at 49, coming off a season where he was, what was he? I'm going to just pull up his numbers. I've got to keep scrolling up to find him. 24. You got him at two rounds below that. So do you think he can replicate what he did last year? Was that sort of a high point for him? What do you see him sort of in the future for him.
I think that was a high point for him last season, but you think that Porzingis, is it going to be out for a while to start the season? So I think the floor for Derek White is really safe here. So him being available at this point, I think it was a no-brainer for me.
Anthony Simons. So guy who, he burned me in a few teams last year because of that injury he got really early in the season. First game of the season? It was the first game. And I remember it well because I was on a paddle steamer boat on the Mississippi River in New Orleans when we got reception and I saw that that Anthony Simons had whatever the injury was. And I went, damn it, there goes a couple of my teams. But healthy coming into this season, I mean, Portland are going to be pretty bad again, we figure. So, I feel like this is a pretty safe pick as well. But what are your thoughts? Like, do you see him as someone that the Blazers are wanting to prioritize? Because there was a bit of talk around he was maybe on the outer and that they were going to look to trade him because they had Scoot Henderson there and they had Shaedon Sharpe. But what do you think his role looks like?
I think he can work alongside of Scoot. I'm big on Scoot as well. But I think Simons at the two, I think, works really well for them. I would be very surprised if they brought back some of their older guys. Help me out, can you?
Well, I mean, Jeremy Grant's still there.
Jeremy Grant. So I'd be very surprised.
Brogdon's gone now. I think this is relatively safe. I mean, he could be 25 points a night. And to get him in the back end of the sixth round. And you've then gone really guard heavy here. If anyone's watching along, you've pretty much gone, six guards in a row following Wemby. So, as you said, leaning into that punt field goal percentage kind of build. Tyler Herro for Miami, who I've never rostered him. He's a bit of a meh guy. He's sort of like, he's good, but he's not great. He fits sort of in this mid-round range. Do you think there's upside for him to finally sort of push inside the top 30, top 40? Or is this who he is, just sitting in the middle?
I think there is some upside there. Jimmy Butler's not getting any younger. I don't expect him to play a full complement of games this season. I really think that Tyler Herro can step up there. Yeah, we've got guys like Jaime Jaquez coming through, but I think it's Tyler Herro. It's time to shine. And you see flashes and go, wow, that's really impressive. But we just need to see that on a consistent basis. And I think he can do that. And he's still got youth on his side. So let's see what happens. He's been in a lot of trade conversations in the past, particularly last season with Dame, but he's held strong. And I really do think there's some upside here.
Then I guess you figured you had to just... You had to get a center, another center or a forward. Well, he's forward. He will be center. I'm pretty sure Fantrax will update him at some point to be a center. But you went with Alex Saar, who was, I believe, the first rookie off the board. I think when I was covering this live on the show, pretty sure he was the first rookie to go off the board. Now, did you watch a lot of Summer League?
I watched a little bit of Summer League and I did watch Saar play, and some would say that he had a disappointing Summer League, but I saw enough there to say to me that his fantasy floor is going to be enough for me to draft him in this area, and I'm pretty confident of taking him here. There's still some upside on his offensive play and his shooting, but you saw the blocks, you saw the coverage, and I think I've seen enough to pick him in this round, in this range right here.
Yeah, he was a bit disappointing. But really, I mean, I thought defensively he looked good. He was getting rebounds. It was just he was shooting too many threes. And I'm hoping that, I mean, that it sounds like they're going to play him alongside Jonas Valanciunas, which you would assume means they want to use him as a floor spacer, which I hope they don't do it 100%. I hope that's not just they throw him out on the perimeter, because he has got an internal game. You would have seen a bit of him. He actually played for Perth, which is where you are in the NBL last season. So, and we saw when he was playing here that he can play on the inside and score around the basket, really good defensively. So, yeah, look, I mean, we're down in what, the eighth round, end of the eighth round. So pick 90-ish, 85. I don't know what it is. But, yeah, I think, as you said, a bit disappointing in Summer League, but the floor is there, I think, as it is with any of these guys that could average 1.5, 1.6 blocks. The hope would just be that he can get his efficiency up. But on your team, that doesn't matter because you're punting field goal percentage anyway.
I'm punting field goal percentage. But I still think that the upside there is with the shot. And we saw it in the NBL. We saw it. It was last season and the Wildcats played the G League Ignite and he just looked tremendous. And I know different kettle of fish here in terms of the competition. But, boy, if he can get anywhere near that, I think he's going to be an absolute stud in years to come. And I think this is a really safe pick for me.
Michael Porter, speaking of safe picks.
Safe but boring. But
very safe, very boring. Yeah. But, yeah, this is – he is who he is now. 18 points. He's a decent rebounder. He can sort of fumble his way into close to a steal a game. So, yeah, really safe. I don't think we really need to break down this pick too much. I think it's a good one.
Yeah, I think the only risk is previous concerns around his health, but I think he's overcome that. He looks to be in really good top-notch health right now.
There's your friend. Friend's back. Grayson Allen. Look, I think again, relatively safe, but does the obviously we did this yesterday, and then this morning when I got up, it was announced that Tyus Jones has signed with Phoenix. Do you think they start Tyus Jones and move Grayson Allen to the bench?
By all accounts, that's what they're going to do. I'm not convinced. We'll see what happens. And, yeah, this draft was done before that trade, which in hindsight I probably wouldn't have made. I do think that impacts Grayson Allen's fantasy floor. But he did have a spectacular season last year. And I would think he was a top 60 player. I don't have the numbers in front of me. But in 9-cat, I think he was extremely impressive.
He was, where are we? Yeah, I mean, if we're looking at, I don't want total games, I want per game. Where are we? Grayson Allen, 58th in 9-cat. So
there we go, almost on the dot, top 60.
Yeah, so he'll be, yeah, I think he probably does take a hit. Do you think with the news of the Tyus Jones signing, do you think Grayson Allen is still a rosterable guy? Would you be comfortable taking him in sort of the 11th or 12th round maybe?
Yeah, I would be. I think there's enough there for him to be a fantasy viable player. But yeah, as I said, Tyus Jones joining that team does hit Allen's value there.
So coming back round, you were on the turn. So starting the 11th round, you went with Bilal Coulibaly. So a rookie last year, I thought he showed some really good promise on the defensive end, basically everything but scoring. Scoring looks pretty raw at the moment, but Washington, it would make sense that they start him this year to see what he looks like. I think they will. What's his sort of upside? Like he's one of those guys, I think, who's so raw that he's hard to figure out exactly what his role is going to be in 5 years' time. He's in a really good spot now because he's playing for a team that can afford to just roll him out there and it doesn't matter. But like what's his upside? Do you see him with top 100 upside or top 80 upside, or is he going to sort of linger in this 100 to 120, 130 range?
I think he's got top 80 dynasty value. And I think I'm in a couple of dynasty leagues right now and he is highly valued. I think he does have that defensive nous, but I think he does have the upside with the shooting. We saw that at the end of last season. Come on, out of the way. End of last season, he was developing his three-point shot. He was looking really good. He was provided more freedom and minutes down the stretch. And I think that's going to continue this season. I know they've still got Kyle Kuzma on the team, but Denny Abdia no longer on the team. I think that frees up some more time on the wing for him. Tyus Jones as well. Not that they play the same role, but just more minutes on the team for Coulibaly. And I'm picking him in the second to last round, I think, is really safe. And we know what he is in terms of defense, and I need a defense as well.
Yeah,
with some upside here.
Yeah, and I think his minutes will be there. Like I said, it doesn't matter if they're winning or anything. He should get 30 minutes plus, I would say.
This is not a dynasty league, but at 19, pretty sure he's 19 still. yeah, it's so much room for improvement. But like you said, it's hard to predict how high he goes. But I could see top 80 down probably next few years.
And then, I mean, you closed out the draft with the final pick and you went with Amen Thompson, the Houston Thompson. Look, he was pretty good last year, I thought. He missed a little bit of time early with an ankle injury. He only played, from memory, one game in Summer League as well. So he didn't – his preseason, early season was pretty disrupted. So it did take him a while to get going. But down the stretch, he was good. Alper and Şengün was obviously out, so he played a little bit more. But he finished the season with a triple-double. And he's – I mean, he's much like his brother in that he's a very good rebounder from the wing position, very good defensively. Needs to work on his shot. So that's, I guess, another sort of one of these rookies who's a bit raw offensively. But the concern, I suppose, with Houston is that he's competing with guys that were already there, like Dylan Brooks and Tari Eason and Cam Whitmore, and they drafted Reed Shepherd. What are the minutes here? Like, what are your thoughts on? I don't think he starts, but do you think he can get to 20 minutes a night on night one?
I think he gets to 20 comfortably. I think we saw what he was able to provide that team. He's a bit of a facilitator as well. So we saw that when Freddie VanVleet was out as well, he could take it upon himself to facilitate. So he's not just a one-trick pony, but yeah, his shot does need a lot of work. Last round pick, I could only see upside here. Again, we know that down the track, dynasty value as well. Again, harping on dynasty, but I think he can be a top 50 guy in a few years to come. So I'm hoping that it'll come this season. I highly doubt it just because of the plethora of young talent that they've got on this Houston Rockets team. And it's actually quite ridiculous how much talent they have right now.
It is. Yeah, it is. And look, he was 140th last year in 22 minutes a night. I don't know. Let's consider that his floor. If he's going to get to 22 minutes, it would make sense that his offense at least improves a little bit, and he's maybe hitting, because he was at 0.1 three-pointers, so he barely shot them. If he can get up to 0.5, 0.7, like at least sort of have a bit more of a go from the perimeter, then, yeah, I think he could push inside that top 120 and then, as you said, upside, plenty of upside. So who knows, maybe a couple of these guys get injured and he steps into a larger role. So that's your team.
That's my team. Full of upside, a few risky plays, but I think you could see where I was going there. Hard, heavy, and then a lot of upside to finish out the draft.
Yep. And so I think just a couple of guys I sort of wanted to touch on, and I'll said I'm not going to keep you too long, but the player that went off the board before you took him in, Thompson, Dyson Daniels. We spoke about the Boomers. I thought he looked really good in our first game and has looked good in the warm-up games as well. Heading to Atlanta, do you think he starts? And if so, or if not, what do you think his fantasy outlook is for this season?
I really like him. And I'm not just saying that because he's a Boomer, he's an Australian guy, but if he can work alongside of Trae Young and they complement each other probably better than what DeJounte and Trae did, I think it's going to be fantasy goldmine. I could see him easily being a top 100 guy. Whether or not they start him, Bogdan Bogdanovic, someone else remains to be seen, but I can see him starting night one alongside of Trae.
I really hope he does, and I think Bogdanovic is much better coming off the bench because – as you said, I think Daniels really complements Trae Young in terms of they're almost opposite, whereas Bogdanovic, he's really just a scorer. He's not too bad of a facilitator, but you bring him off the bench to bolster your scoring with that second unit, whereas Dyson Daniels can sort of protect Trae a little bit. And we've seen in these warm-up games and even last night, he's hitting threes. Like, he's shooting them. They're looking good. He's more of a corner three kind of guy, but that's fine. I really like him. And then I just guess sticking with the Boomers theme, Josh Giddey has looked really good as well. I think Chicago would have to love what they're seeing from him to this point. What were your thoughts on that move, on the move over to Chicago? And then is this the season where he sort of realizes that potential that we saw earlier in his career?
I think so. It's a great move for his fantasy value for Chicago Bulls and for himself. Does it work with Vooch? We'll see, because I know Landau's quite a different player to Vucevic, and perhaps they even go with Jalen Smith later on, or if they can get a trade, it may even work out. But I think Giddey, even with Vooch there playing that pick and roll, the facilitator with some nice shooting guards, you've still got LaVine on the team, yes. So they may eat into each other's value, but I think Giddey still stands out as the facilitator on that team. I really like him. Really wouldn't surprise me if he ended up being a top 60, top 70 type of player this season.
So he went in the sixth round, middle of the sixth round in this draft. So so what's that pick? What, 60, 65, something like that. Yep. So is that sort of where you'd be comfortable taking him? If you were, say he'd been available there where you took, which way are we going? Six, five, where you took Anthony Simons. So back into the sixth round. If Giddey had been there, would you be comfortable taking him there?
I would take Giddey over Simons, absolutely. Yeah, and I'm comfortable there. You may be losing or not getting a whole heap of value at that point, but I think his floor again is really safe, and he does have some shooting upside. We've seen in the Olympics, in the warm-up games, he's been able to hit his threes. He's more of a threat from outside, and I think he'll get some confidence as well with the Bulls. And, yeah, nice pick there. Just going back to Dyson Daniels, something interesting. We saw it at moments with the Pelicans, but the point of, or the first point of defense, just the lead guy, and it's really impressive to watch. And we saw it again for the Boomers last night, just really aggressive, looking at their best defensive player, and he's taking them on. And it's great to see. So I can see that working really well for the Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah, I hope it does. I hope it does for him too. And last guy, not an Aussie, but a guy that is sort of a trending topic, I suppose, in fantasy, and that's Jalen Johnson, also for Atlanta. So he went ninth pick of the fourth round. So that makes it like 45. That was lower than, I think I said this on the show, that was lower than I thought he would go. I really don't see him falling that far. In most drafts, given he was close to that last season, he was 43rd. So he actually was drafted lower than where he finished last year. And how high are you on him this year? Like, where would you be comfortable taking him? And do you think he'll be one of those guys where the hype sort of pushes him too high?
I think it may push him quite high, but I would still be comfortable taking him in the third. If it was the back end of the third, very comfortable. So this was quite late. You think DeJounte Murray's not there, so there's going to be extra usage for Jalen Johnson. And there were some games last season where we saw that he was able to not just shoot a shot, take rebounds, but also facilitate. And I'm pretty sure he was able to get a triple-double as well, as one of my daughters walks past once again.
Look, I think he was. I'm high. I mean, most of us are high on him, but if that all of that preseason hype pushes his ADP into the mid-20s, you're probably shaving off all of the value. I think you would want to be getting him, as you said, in the third. So to anywhere after pick 30, I think I'd be okay with taking him.
I'm with you.
And if he falls to the fourth round, then it's a no-brainer, really. So I think he's in for a really good season. That'll do for that. Was nice, quick half an hour. I've got to let you go and look after those kids. what have you got coming up? Your show, as with a few people, taking a bit of a hiatus during the summer league and the off season. But where can, I guess, people find you, and when, what are the plans for your show moving forward?
Yep, Between Two Hoops with Kayla. We'll restart that very shortly. The hiatus has actually been really nice and quite refreshing, but very keen to get stuck into it. I did send out a tweet the other day. So looking to expand upon that. We'll be doing our weekly show, but also looking to expand that into some daily shows as well. So a lot on the billing. So watch this space. But, yeah, very exciting. And I'll be doing a lot more with you, Kingy, and a few other newer analysts have also hit me up as well. So really exciting to see what else we can bring to the table.
Yeah, no, it should be a good season, and yeah, I mean the off season's getting shorter, so content really doesn't stop that much. Probably a bit of a dead period now. Hence why I'm doing the analysts and stupidly early mock drafts, because it gives people something to talk about. So no, thanks for jumping on and stepping away from the kids. I need to go and check on mine as well. That will do for tonight's show, this morning's show, wherever you are. Remember to like and subscribe. Give this one a thumbs up. Head over to our Discord server. We have a lot of draft-only leagues going still. Hit up B-Dub if you're not sure. He's got all the information there. But he'll just continue to open them, I think, as the want and the need is there from people to join leagues. He'll keep opening them. So, yeah, head over to Discord. All the information is there. Thanks for joining us today. Until next time, catch up.
Guys.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.